And how about your medical career?
Medical career, interestingly, with the rugby, I needed to be a doctor in the hospital because it suited the training regime. I could train in the hospital. I had access to physiotherapy. I had access to weight rooms. With the racing, horse racing, I needed to go into general practice. And in fact, so I changed from basically being an anaesthetist in the hospital to go into general practice so that I could manage my horses and general practice. You worked in the morning and you worked in the evening, and like at lunchtime I'd go onto the race course and I would do my... I went into general practice and was a senior partner at Wootton Underedge, and this last year I've just retired from that as well. But still do 100 days of working on the race course, looking after the jockeys, and so I still look after the jockeys, and I'm slowly teaching them how to be professional. I said this, unfit, fat and fragile. Seriously, the jockeys are unfit, they're not fit for purpose, they don't train specifically, they are fat in that they eat all the wrong things, and fragile from the mental strains, and we're now actually seeing it now in the jockeys, that the mental anxieties that they have. And I can link this now to the mental stresses that these boys have as professional rugby players. As you know, in the Legends Lounge, I get the opportunity to chat to some of the boys who are playing. And I can see the pressures that they are under from contract things. And not that I would have the skills or the ability to play rugby nowadays. I don't think I would want to the baggage that comes with playing a sport that we played for love and fun. It's a different game.
And what brought you back to King's Home, Phil?
The formation of the former players, okay, and I had an invitation to come to one of the games, and as I said, just meeting the boys, and I thought... and I watched that game, and I saw Charlie Sharples... and apart from Charlie Sharples, I thought, I don't recognise this game. But it was meeting those teammates, those boys that had... And we looked at each other and we didn't have to say anything. You just immediately had a feeling of bond. So I came to the next annual meeting and... found myself a job.
You're obviously a doer.
I'm a bit of a mover and a shaker. Yeah. We organised some cricket matches. I organised a few events outside, and my life now is. And I'm back down here as most Saturdays. To entertain people. Again, I still don't watch the rugby. I hate to say it, Mark. And that the interesting thing, and I. In the 80s and 90s, the Southern Hemisphere dominated because of forward play. They played this forward aggressive game, okay, we were playing second fiddle to us. And I just felt that the Northern Hemisphere now, we seem to be playing this forward sort of bang on game, and I see the New Zealanders and the Australians concentrating on skills again and handling ability. And it gives me hope for the future that the game is slightly changing back to a game that I recognise. And I was saying, Eddie Jones, I think he's putting more emphasis on skills rather than confrontation and the big hits and whatever. So if the game does come back like that, and I think it needs to because of the injury perspective, you know, and they will tinker with the laws to try and do that. But the trouble is, when you've got such highly trained professional athletes now, you've got to look outside the boxes a little bit, like Italy did the other day. But when you've got 15 players spread across the pitch, it's going to be difficult to get past. And that's why I think, really and truly, we've got to somehow either get some of those donkeys back in the pack to give us back to the chance, or my solution would be to get rid of a couple of people. You know, I think we'll make the pitches bigger because if you want to see the type of tries scored by Wales, and I have to bring that in against England, you know, wasn't it magnificent to see that try? You know, from a set piece,
yeah.
But it's unheard of now. fascinating. It'd be interesting to see where the game goes. But to me, just being part of the Gloucester scheme again is something that, and as I said, I feel so lucky, so honoured to have only spent 2 years really at Gloucester and yet have been part of a team which, you know, I hope will be remembered for many years.
Yeah. Well, and it's good you're back now, you know, as a you know, member of the committee of the Players Association and really involved in it.
Yeah, that's nice of you to say, Mark, and it, I just think it's fantastic what you guys are doing, and it is a team.
Yeah. Let me ask you the direct question. Let's see if you can put it into words. What does King's Home mean to you?
Well, the easy word is everything, because, as I said, in summary, if it wasn't for my rugby, I would not be where I am today. And King's Home was the ultimate for my rugby. Okay, I was fortunate enough to get a Welsh schoolboy international cap and run out at the Cardiff Arms Park. But I will never forget that day. Running out on Easter Saturday at King's Home, and I've been fortunate enough to ride racehorses around Cheltenham in front of 60,000 people. I've ridden around the Grand National course and finished ninth. Okay. But I still have I'm very emotional, and it's often quite difficult and hard to speak about running out down those steps over there, seriously. Yeah. You know, it does mean it's life. You know, it's been my life. Yeah. Even though I stepped away from it, it sounds madness. Right. I stepped away from it for 30 years.
Well, and of course, in your day, you were running out from what's now the Lions' Den.
Of course, the Lions.
Through the shed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and as you know, the shed makes or breaks people. It must end on this final tale, of course. As you know,
did they say anything to you?
Well, the interesting thing is, as you know, I played for London Welsh. I went up there, and the shed took to me, and I was so fortunate. As I said, I was born in Lydney. They probably didn't know that, but I didn't felt that qualified me, even though I had played for the Welsh schoolboys and I was a Welshman. The shed did take to me, and as you know, they can really be quite harsh on some of the boys, and I've seen some of the lads come in crying, you know, because of the shed on the back. The only time I had any stick off the shed, and you'll be able to tell me about this game, I'm sure, was that we were playing in the John Player Cup match against London Welsh here, and I was on the shed side by the Lions' Den, on the blind side, and we were in defence, and London Welsh ran out towards what is now the Myra stand, and they put a kick back into my box, into the blind side box, and I ran back and watched the ball over my head, watched it go straight through my hands, hit the ground, bounce, and the Welsh winger scored underneath the post. And so I hate to say it, but that was one of my memories from King's Home. And people say, how does it feel about playing in front of the crowd? And I have to say, I've ridden, as I say, in front of 60,000 people, you know, Cheltenham and at Aintree. You don't hear the crowd, but I heard that day the shed say, "Ooh," you know. And there were one or two comments, the fact that this Gloucester boy had played for London Welsh and had managed to drop the ball in front of his own posts and let London Welsh score. And that is the only time that I think the shed slightly might have been on my back a bit, but well deserved. And
so you could understand it.
I could certainly understand it. There was one, and I'd love to have... I wish I'd got it on for. There was one try I scored against Cheltenham, and it was an evening match and the ground wasn't that great, and for some reason I collected the ball on the halfway line, probably from one of their kicks or something, and I scored under the post, and I swear to God I'd ran 50 yards, trying to pass the ball, you know. And every time I went to pass it, the Cheltenham chap just stepped aside. And I'll never forget that try as well. It wasn't a big competitive match or whatever. But I can actually say I collected the ball in my own half and scored under the post. And I swear I had no intention of doing it. It was just one of those things that people just kept running away from me. And I remember.
Presumably that's why your dummies were so believable.
Well, it was. I really did want to pass the ball. And the sidesteps and the swerves were purely we're my mates, my teammates, and at the time people said that was one of the most spectacular. And I said, well, the honest truth was that I was just trying to get rid of the ball. But yeah, I do have those couple of memories, and as I said, dropping the ball when we were playing London Welsh and them scoring was one of them.
Nothing to add, really.
No, I think that's a wonderful way to finish the interview.
Well, that's very kind
Phil,
of you both.
Thank you very much indeed.
And thank you for the information that you've provided me. I didn't know some of those facts. Yes, thank you all.
Thanks very much.